Hey friends, and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex and the City Rewind Podcast,
where Sex and the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. We're rewatching, we're rewinding. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts. My goodness. Meredith, how's it going?
We're deep in season three.
We're deep in season three. And season three starts out really bad and gets really good.
I don't even remember. Okay, what happens at the beginning of season
three? Right? It's bad. Like, oh, I think there were some of the worst, like politically erect. Am I thinking that's right?
They're in Staten Island.
Yeah.
They're in Staten Island. I like that one.
Bad,
I like
but
that
it
one.
Has, doosh, 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 yeah, but doosh, it's good. It's good. And then there's something. Oh, no. Isn't the one with where Samantha dates. Oh, yeah. See, there's some of the worst.
Yeah.
Boy, girl.
It's a journey. But, it's a journey.
But as soon as Carrie meets Aiden, things pick up. It's dialed up.
It's dialed up because we get into the, I mean, a lot of the early episodes are like frothy and fun and like dancing around politics and cultural issues. And now we're actually rooted in these characters' relationships in a way that feels true, right?
Absolutely.
That's why we like them.
Absolutely. We're even getting truth and we're starting to dance around something for Charlotte. Miranda even had, I think Miranda's storyline with Steve was very strong, with him moving in and them not being a fit, you know, at the time of their life. The timing wasn't right. Remember that one?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
We're not quite getting enough from Samantha, but this episode, we're doing Running with Scissors. It's season three, episode 11. This is, I think, the first time in the show where Samantha gives some true vulnerability.
I agree. And it's crazy that it got us to the middle of season three to talk about the reality of being a single woman who sleeps with as many people as Samantha does.
In the 90s and the 2000s, when there was just so much more concern about sex and safe sex and unsafe sex and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And this episode dances around high risk behavior.
Yeah.
And high risk relationships. And are you putting yourself at risk? We talk about this nowadays in a different way. Like, you know, say for example, for like sexual violence and stuff. Oh, was that person being risky? That type of thing. I don't think any of this is about that. And I just want to make that distinction now, that when we talk about risky behavior, it's in the context of dynamics and choices that you make
and
for
consent?
Yourself. And No, I don't think it's about consent in this episode.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was trying to follow your metaphor. You mean this episode, is not about that. No.
This episode is not about consent. And say, for example, like, you know, you weren't asking for it if you have a high risk behavior. But in this one, it's a little different. The nuance is a little different. I just want to make that distinction.
Yes. Yeah, it's fair. And in this one, it's about taking responsibility for your actions to protect yourself and also your partners. We're not being clear about what actually happens, but Samantha needs to get an HIV AIDS test. And it comes out she's never had one before.
She's terrified of it because she doesn't want to think. She wants to think about, it's almost like when you're too far gone. You know what I mean? Like that you don't want, say if you don't go to the doctor regularly and you know you should.
Yeah.
You're just in denial. A checkup. You're in denial and you go years and years and years. I've known people years, 5, 10 years without seeing a doctor, not even a blood work checkup or that type of thing. This is what this is, you know, or what's a little bit more. And I think her sex life is like this. She's enjoying it and she just pushes this aspect of it completely out of her mind. And if she's well, and I can guarantee you that when she's well and she's doing well, it's like when she last couple of episodes again, when she's getting her period, she's fine. She's happy. Mm-hmm. But when she stops it, oh, then there's a concern.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like I can guarantee you that Samantha, when she gets a cold and she's analyzing it, is this HIV? It pops into her head.
Well, I mean, she does say, she says that. She's like, I get the flu very often.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're joking about it, but I'm glad that they're talking about this.
I can tell you, gay people think, at that time, and maybe now too, a lot of gay people will think, I have this thing I have, or maybe you have like a sore on your, like a zit that didn't heal or something like that. You could think those things because you're just terrified, but you don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the stigma is so enormous. I'm sure that's part of it.
Yes. The movie Philadelphia. Okay. Let's go through. Should we do?
Well, wait, first tell me how your week was.
Yeah, my week was good. Did you have any Sex in the City like things or encounters, or did you do anything that was like fabulous? Did you have a cocktail? That's what I really
wanted. I did. So we do this really fun thing with our neighbors where it's called a house crawl.
Oh.
So each house is responsible for an appetizer, like a little snacky, and then a different cocktail.
Oh my God. How many houses are involved here? How many cocktails are being served?
It was three.
That's good. That's perfect. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah. We used to do it when we were younger, and it was like a condo crawl before we had kids. Aww. And there'd be about seven of us. So that would get kind of heavy.
That's good. Gets messy at the end.
Yeah, that gets messy. But this one, it's really fun. So like one of our friends had mojitos and like prosciutto, apple little toasts. Wow. We have snacks for the kids too. And then our other neighbors had a really nice wine, and they did rum and coke, so they make a really good rum and coke.
Really? I haven't had that for a long time.
And then they had shrimp and little bocconcinis.
Oh, bocconcinis.
Bocconcini spears. And then at our house, we just did like a nice cheese board, and ours was kind of more dessert. So we did margaritas. We did pineapple margaritas and we did root beer floats for the kids.
Oh my God. That sounds good. That's fabulous. That's wonderful.
It was fun. It felt kind of fabulous. I mean, I just wore my leggings and walked across the street, which is the best way to go for cocktails.
It's a very nice thing.
What about you? Did you have a Sex in the City week?
I did. You know what? I went to our friend Sarah's place for dinner on Friday and it was they hosted us. Oh my God. Like, full cocktail bar, dirty martinis, all the old fashions, all the good stuff. We took an Uber there. So, you know, if you're taking an Uber somewhere and you're post 40, you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to have two or more drinks and fabulous food. Like, I mean, the entertaining. And you know, when your friends, well, it's so special to be treated like that. But like Sarah had like a special tart from a patisserie and like things like this. Aww. This is so nice.
That's so nice. That a dinner party. Wonderful.
So yeah, kind of Sex in the City. Although you know what? These people don't do many dinner parties. I would say it's much more going out, like Samantha going out to the new hot spot.
I love that Samantha goes to the bar by herself to pick men up.
She's bold. She's out there. She's out and proud.
Should I read the little synopsis Please of this do. Episode? Okay. A lot is happening. A lot is happening in the time of these people's lives. Okay. Charlotte's wedding planning panic is easily solved when Sam refers her to a gay stylist, Anthony Marantino.
Oh, yeah. We get Anthony.
Yeah. The Italian mother she never had.
Yep.
Paranoid Miranda worries about a scary man in a restaurant sandwich suit saying, eat me, in a woman unfriendly way.
Classic. Classic.
Eat me.
Eat me.
When Samantha finally meets her male sexual counterpart, Tom Raimi, eagerness to do it in his swing makes her overcome an old pathological fear for AIDS tests. Mm-hmm. Carrie is torn between sweet Aiden and exciting adulterous Big, who wants to come out. But when Natasha returns early, it kind of cuts off strangely here.
She flees like a coward.
She flees like a coward, and Natasha needs to get stitches in her mouth and loses a tooth. It's awful.
It is awful. Hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be that comfortable in his apartment after he leaves at that time when she really could come home at any time. Okay, well, we'll get there.
So Vulture likes this episode.
I hope it's top 10.
Is that your guess?
I think it's better than the last episode, which was 13 or 14. And I'm hoping it's like between 5 and 10.
Okay. It's number 10.
Okay, you're good. Right. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Because okay, it's so good.
It's a really good episode. So the Big Carrie affair hits rock bottom. Big's wife, Natasha, catches Carrie in their apartment, chases her out, and on the way down, falls down the stairs and cracks a tooth. Carrie takes Natasha to the hospital, where she also tells Big they're so over they need a new word for over.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Charlotte, hitting bridezilla mode, hires stylist Anthony Marantino, thus introducing a new reoccurring character and nemesis for Carrie's friend Stanford.
Oh, it's great. It's so great. And R.I.P.
Samantha's storyline brings a standard kink. She meets the male version of herself, a storied sex god who has a leather sex swing in his apartment. It doesn't look that fun.
No.
That sex swing.
No.
But she also gets an unexpected emotional jolt when he asks her to take an HIV test, which she's never done before because she's terrified. That's it.
That's it. Well, that's actually really sums up. So we were talking a lot about Samantha's HIV test and, you know, she's out and about, meets this guy. He is the male Samantha. And really maturely, like, this is actually a very good example of a mature adult interaction.
Oh, it's great. I loved how they handled this. As considering the time they handled it, it's great. Because he just point blank is like, when's the last time you had an AIDS test? And she was like, what? And he's like, I just had it. I'm good. And then she's like, like, she's never had one. And he's like, well, we can't have sex until you do.
Yeah.
Period.
There are consequences. Right? See, there you are. If you do that, I'll do that. And it's fabulous. So she goes, I really loved the scene of her with the intake
doctor. Yeah, me too.
I thought this was fabulous in a lot of ways because you could see her anxiety and it was funny. They managed to be funny, but poignant. It's very hard balance to strike. And I thought it was very funny that she said that she uses lambskin.
Yeah.
And the doctor wasn't like, those are definitely not effective for HIV.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. And the whole swallow joke was funny and everything.
Only when I'm surprised. Yes. Yeah. It's really pretty non-judgmental. That's why I liked it too. Yeah. Cause the doctor's just like, these are standard questions. Like it's fine. And then Samantha trying to think of how many people she slept with and she's like, she gets stumped. And then she's lost. Like, this year.
So good. It's and then we have like Samantha, like we could just go through everything. I think, at brunch, Samantha asks the gals if anyone's had an AIDS test, like this would, well, HIV test, I think we would typically call it now. And everyone did, except Charlotte, of course.
Charlotte doesn't answer.
She's too focused on the wedding. Did you see the size of those magazines?
Oh my God. I remember. So they don't do that anymore. Like to get like a bridal magazine like that, where you look at wedding dresses. I remember doing this with my friend.
This is the pure joy of getting married.
Yes.
And being of someone who's getting married is to go through those big bride magazines.
Like remember Martha Stewart weddings? That was one of my favorites.
Condé Nast had one, which was, I think, just brides? Bridal?
But I don't even know if they print them anymore. Those are my favorite. I loved them.
Now it's just Pinterest boards. Just Pinterest. And it's like, there's no real curatorial eye, right? Like you're not really seeing.
Anyway, I know. I was like, I would be here for this wedding. I would be here for that wedding planning. I would show up. I'd be like, girl.
Me too, because the budget. I think I could just live vicariously through that budget.
It's like a $100,000 wedding, right?
For sure. More.
Yeah.
Remember we realized that in the very first episode, that friend who moves to New York has that wedding within 6 days?
Yeah.
That was a $100,000 wedding. And that was, this will put that one to shame. So I could see that. And I could see being the Anthony. Oh, just to sit beside a bride with no budget.
Oh my God, I know. I wanted to be there. And this is the thing, because like our friends, so many of our friends are artists. They're like creative professionals. I said that in like in such a judgmental way.
You just never saw the checkbook come out in quite the same way.
And they also don't get married.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of them don't get married because it's expensive and they make different life choices. And it's just, we had a run of, you know, I was a maid of honor a few times, bridesmaid a few times, and then they just stopped.
Yeah.
Weddings are the best.
You had a fancy wedding.
I did have a fancy wedding.
Yeah. So that's good. You got your own fancy wedding.
Yeah.
And you planned it to the T and everything.
That's the funny thing. I was I was at school, so I wasn't very involved with planning my wedding. My dad and Stafford did all the tastings when I was in school because I was in Halifax. So my dad was like our default wedding planner.
That's really special.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So he and Stafford did a few tastings together. They like toured venues together.
I love.
Isn't that funny? So
nice. It's a nice bonding experience for them.
It is. It's sweet. I wasn't that involved. I just got to go to the party.
Isn't that crazy? Well, that's lovely.
I wasn't a bridezilla. I was like, look, let's get married, have the ceremony, and then just have a really good party.
What about the dress? How did you find that?
I'm so cheap. I'm very, very cheap. So I found this dress in Halifax that I liked, and I think it was like $800. And then I found it in Calgary, and I told them, will you price match? Because it was higher here, and they said they'd price match.
Where did you find it? Walmart?
No,
Rona?
Ethos. It was beautiful.
Nice.
You know, it was like champagne, strapless, like ruched. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful dress. Yeah, your pictures too. Okay, so Samantha is, they tell her the worst part is if you know, Miranda said, if you get taken into the little room, that means you have HIV basically. Yeah. And so Samantha goes into that scenario thinking that, and she is taken into a little room to be scolded.
Yep.
Because she's using lambskins and sometimes not even that. So she faints, and this is really well done. Like, I just felt that her legs gave out. She was just terrified, the sheer terror. It was really well done. I thought that was a yay.
It was a great plot for her because it was about some consequences of her lifestyle choices. Everything ends up being okay, but she has to experience what the risk is for the choices that she's making. She also looked so good in that sheer teal blouse when the doctor's interviewing her.
She looked great. Loved. I thought it was funny that at the end when they're having sex in that swing and it just crashes to the ground. It looks like the actors did that.
Do they?
Like the actors crashed to the ground.
Well, they're basically just, it doesn't look that great. They're basically just like swinging like you would at the playground.
Oh, I just feel like it would have been really dangerous.
Like what's so kinky about it? I don't know.
Oh, that, because I don't see how there's an in and out thrust. They're just swinging. You know, like it's not like there's two people on two swings, one on each, like colliding.
Yeah. It's funny.
I don't get it.
I didn't get it either. Tell us, listeners, if you know otherwise, what's so great about the sex
thing? I don't understand. And I would, Okay. So then we have, well, we talked a little bit about Charlotte. Charlotte is wedding dress hunting and planning her wedding.
She meets Anthony and then but I wish we could have seen her trying the dresses on. She just
looks at
them.
It would have been great. But we get one of the best iconic trying on dress scenes later in this series with Carrie when she starts getting itchy. Remember that with Miranda when they're trying on, they're just joking and trying on wedding dresses. This is one of the best scenes of Sex and the City. I would have done a bit of dress porn for sure.
Oh,
but there's something about his relationship with Charlotte that's special, obviously. And this mother, like we don't get any, it should be a mom. So what happened? Do they ever talk about Charlotte's mother?
Oh, so well, remember her brother shows up in season two?
Yeah.
And then there's no mention of family. Like none of them have, like the only family we meet is Steve's mom.
You're right.
That's it. And then Miranda's mom dies.
Samantha mentioned that her dad was a drunk.
And then Carrie talks about her dad not being around very much, which is actually, because remember they did the Carrie Diaries?
Yes.
And she actually is raised by her dad. So
that was not quite accurate.
Yeah, but it was not quite accurate.
I'm glad they didn't delve into casting parents because ever since I was a little kid, I was always like so disappointed in casting for parents of characters that I'm like, oh, now the parent is making a guest appearance on this episode, like Facts of Life, when Tootie's parents came. I'm like, that's not Tootie's parents.
Yeah,
I pictured them very differently.
Well, it's funny because we there's like Big's mom, remember, who he never lets Carrie go to church with him.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see Aiden's parents through the window.
And
we
Trey's
see Bunny.
Parents.
Yeah.
Parent.
And Steve's mom.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no mention of Charlotte except other than her brother who shows up that one episode in season two. That's it.
Yeah. And she's like obviously raised very waspy. So it's just a disconnect. I don't understand exactly what that is. Oh, so that's basically Charlotte's plot line, but it is sweet.
It's sweet.
Miranda's is great. I love Miranda's plot line.
She looks really good in this episode. Her hair looks really good.
Yeah, I think she looks really nice in this. The episode before, was that when she had very wispy, kind of like elf-like hair?
It's like this too, but it's grown out a bit. I think she looks good.
Yeah,
she
looks better. And she walks by this hot dog that says, "Eat me."
Oh my god! And this guy's credited on IMDb. His name's Adrian Ryder.
Really?
Really,
the sandwich.
Yeah.
And I love everything about this little plot line. She gets allured and titillated by this sandwich, and it starts becoming. It just grows within her, and she just wants to know who the sandwich man is.
It's so mysterious. She's like, it's because I can't see his face, but she could just glimpse his like white teeth and his full lips, and just the thought of like having sex with a sandwich. She's like, I can't have sex with a sandwich. Wait, can I?
and where? How? In what world do you think this could be a good guy for you? Honestly, though, job is, and he's there constantly. Is just standing in a sandwich. This is the lowest. This is the person who holds the board. You know, who flips the board and with a real flair, showing you to where to go.
There's a guy who does that. There's a Little Caesars guy by my kid's school, and my kids love him so much because he's really athletic. He like flips the board. He does like a one hand handstand and like catches it on his feet. I don't know how much this guy's I mean, he's obviously had kind of a. He's an older guy. He's probably in his 30s. I don't know why he's being the sandwich guy, but my kids like always cheer and give him a standing ovation. They love him so much.
I do think I applaud employment. Applaud employment. And so finally, she just can't handle it. Oh, she goes into the restaurant and says, like, "Your sandwich is saying something sexually suggestive to me." He's like, "Well, what is it?" She's like, "Eat me." Well, he's a sandwich lady.
Yeah, he's a sandwich. It's funny.
And she sees him and he's a young boy and she kind of keeps walking. For some reason, this interaction, this sequence of scenes with Miranda really sticks out in my mind. The sandwich, eat me. It's very good. And I can't put my finger on why it's very good.
I mean, I think what is good about Miranda is that she ends up in these ridiculous situations that she commits so hard to. And she's the only character who could be turned on by the sandwich. She is.
You believe she's turned on by that goddamn sandwich.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that this show always says that Charlotte is the one open to love. Charlotte wants love. Mm-hmm. I think Miranda wants the love more than anyone on this show.
Do you know what else I think it shows about Miranda now that I'm thinking about it? Is that she's willing to have her mind changed.
Do you know what?
I think she is. Like, is she judgmental? Absolutely. Does she go in kind of guns blazing when she feels like there's an injustice? Yeah. But then she's willing to have her mind changed because she's willing to have her mind changed.
About boning the sandwich, right? Yeah. And even with Carrie and Big and Aiden and all the psychological warfare Carrie puts her friends through, especially Miranda.
Yeah.
Miranda's there and
she's there.
She can see it either way. She can.
Yeah.
Very good point. Okay, so then we have Carrie.
I know they're trying to make a comment on the de-evolution of this affair, but how it opens with them at this fancy hotel and she comes in wearing like her black sunglasses and her hair up in a chignon. And I'm like, this sucks
because like, it's not funny.
It's not funny and it's not a game. Yeah. And like, she does look great. They're having sex at hotels all around the city and they just get progressively more and more seedy.
Yeah. And then they kind of start, it starts being like a funny game of like, oh no, I have breakfast that morning. And he's like, no, I can do 10. No, yeah. I've got a merger, like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems too light. There's no way she can have this sense of levity with how this is going. Cause she's going back to Aiden and having sex like daily with Big. It just doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't. Yeah. And I guess it is that addiction analogy again, that she's, but you're conscious at this point. Like you're like that scheduling discussion, mm-hmm. you're consciously deciding when you're available to have sex with your married ex-boyfriend. Right?
So, yeah.
And they're mean plotting. To each other. They're like,
it's plotting it out.
They're plotting, like this is calculated, and they're mm-hmm. sniping at each other, right? Like they start kissing, and then she doesn't. She's like, it's too hot. I can't. And Big asks if she's saving it for her boyfriend. You know, like it's just.
I know. There's a lot of off the cuff kind of remarks about this. It's just it plays poorly. It really doesn't show them in any type of sympathetic light because it's too much. It's just too much. They're adults with agency. Why are they having this type of affair? Especially since they have such a history together.
And do you know why too? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't even seem like they're enjoying spending time together. So it's just about sex at this point.
I know, but doesn't Big start saying like, I'm ending this with Natasha. I'm ending it. I want you.
He's been saying that for a while. He's been saying that for the last three episodes. Yeah, he has.
And
Carrie's been resistant.
And Carrie's kind of saying, does he only want me so badly now because I'm unavailable? And everyone's like, that's absolutely what it is.
Because she ends up telling Miranda, and that's exactly what she says. She says, does he only want me now because he can't have me? Mm-hmm. And Miranda says, yes.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah. Obviously, Carrie
says she wants this to end without anyone getting hurt.
How?
But I'm like, what? There's no way. You've hurt so many people. You have to take accountability for your calculated decision to do this.
So, right? Yes. We do have the scene with like Carrie and Aiden where he's humming as he's kissing her.
Yeah.
And she just clams right up. She just starts freaking out on him.
And she's awful to him.
She's just awful to him. And he's like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Yeah. And she kind of gets up and is she trying to salvage like, oh no, stay or.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I like about the scene is that she's wearing her classic boy underwear and boy tank top. I love that.
Yeah.
And he leaves to take some time, figure things out. And there's a bike outside the door. She's awful. She gets mistaken for a prostitute shortly after.
And so this was my theory. So she's so needy because she actually doesn't want to be with him. Because she doesn't want to be with him. Yeah. Mm-mm. She's more worried about hurting him than if she actually wants to be with him. So she's like over justifying mm-hmm. her attraction where it's like, mm-hmm. actually, you just don't want to be with this guy. That's why you're being awful to him. That's why you don't want him in your bed. That's why you're like, it's like me lady doth protest too much, methinks, you know, like you don't want to be with this guy.
You
like,
just please don't
end it. Yeah.
Do what you want to do. Is it just this, like, he's so vulnerable. He's so emotional. He's so into her that she's just such a coward. I don't get it, but
yeah,
but it's devolved. And, so they're finally at that seedy, seedy hotel and where the Japanese businessman thinks she's a prostitute and she leaves and sees Charlotte, and Charlotte is this relationship moral compass, right? Like,
yeah,
you do it right.
And and Carrie looks great. She's wearing this nude dress with like a flower. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. The color looks great on her. Mm-hmm. I'm normally not a fan of that nude, but she's wearing it well.
She wears nudes well somehow. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Carrie has to explain, and she says that mm-hmm. it was a force bigger than her, mm-hmm. And she feels bad. And Charlotte's like, you should absolutely feel bad. This isn't a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you are cheating on, about Natasha. This is about Aiden. This isn't about you.
Yeah, and she said, you're only worried about how this is going to affect you.
Yeah.
Not anyone else. And my God, it's so true. Yeah. It is so true. It's really well done. And that is one of the... that's a very pivotal scene, I think, for Carrie and Charlotte. They never had such an interaction. Like there's mm-hmm. real stakes. Like you said, there's real stakes here.
Yeah.
And you know, then we get to Carrie and Big. Now they're just at his apartment, which I don't understand. Why are they at hotels? And now she's in. Oh, because Natasha's in the Hamptons.
So I guess Natasha's in the Hamptons. And despite the fact Carrie has said to Charlotte that she's done, she's not going to do mm-hmm. this anymore. The next scene, we see her.
The next scene.
Big's apartment. They mm-hmm. had sex at Natasha and Big's apartment.
Doesn't that feel, I don't, I mean, yes, I'm being judgy. Doesn't that feel gross? Aren't you just repulsed at the thought of doing that in someone else's marital bed?
This is a crazy thing. I was just with some friends of mine at the park with our kids, and I was like, oh, I'm watching the episode of Sex and the City where Carrie cheats on Natasha with Big in their apartment, and then Natasha runs after them and she breaks her teeth. Haha. And I'm like, I can't believe it. Like, how does that actually happen to you? And then all my friends were like, oh, well, my cousin found his wife in bed with so-and-so. Oh, yeah, my friend, blah, 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 found her husband in bed with so-and-so. Like, everybody had, and I was like, I thought that only happened in Hugh Grant romantic comedies.
Finding them in bed. Although, you know what? I'm watching a lot. No, I'm listening to Dateline podcasts.
I know you like Dateline.
Oh, I love my Dateline.
A cup of tea and Dateline.
Oh, I'm gonna be, yeah, that's like phone sex, like Miranda and George. Tell me more.
Yeah. And then what?
Wait, you've got another call.
Was there evidence?
Yeah. What did the DNA lab come back
with? Wait, let me get comfortable. What was that?
So
apparently it happens. I don't know.
Every episode, I mean, almost every murder is because of infidelity or some sort of infidelity.
On
I'm
Dateline?
Telling you, 50%. Yes.
50%. I mean, intimate partner violence, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, of course. And, but a lot of catching people having sex with other people
in their house. I mean, that feels mm-hmm. like such a betrayal. Oof.
Oh, it's such a betrayal. Oh, so, and they don't have kids. Like, come on, end it. Just,
okay. So here's the question that I want to ask. If a listener, I know Ricky and I have seemed really judgmental, but like truly yeah, know that, like, that we lead with curiosity first mm-hmm. and we're trained journalists. So we know that people are complex and there's lots of sides to every story. So if you've ever been in a situation where you've had sex with someone who had a partner in their own bed, can you tell us how that happened?
Oh gosh, you can be anonymous.
You can be anonymous. We would love it. Just tell us.
Create an email account and send it to us. We don't have an email address anywhere. Oh, you know what? By the time this episode airs, Meredith, I think we'll have our website ready to go.
Oh, I know. I've dropped the ball on that. I need to.
So you have to go and edit the copy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I will. Sorry.
But it's andjustlikewhat.com. There's mm-hmm. a send us a message area about us.
Oh my God. Tell us. Please tell us, because we want to understand. That's it. We just want to understand.
Is it kind of like Samantha? Like if you ignore it, Samantha and her HIV test, if you ignore it, it becomes less real.
It's just the momentum of it. The momentum. I don't know.
Yeah.
The fantasy. So
I have to say, Carrie in this apartment with Natasha is terrifying. There was a sense of horror in this, because Natasha walked into her own home and someone yeah. else was eating out of her fridge.
I know.
It's terrifying.
Right. It's freaky. It's freaky. And then Carrie tries to escape through like the fire escape stairway.
Yeah. And Natasha can see her. They're 1 foot yeah. away from each other running, and Carrie's pretending yeah. like she's invisible.
I know.
And it's awkward and terrifying and sad and such a low status.
Oh, it's bad. Right. It's bad. And then as Natasha, it's a little funny. I was like, oh my God. And then, oh, I also feel bad.
I know.
Because Natasha's chasing Carrie. She comes home early from the Hamptons. Carrie is bolting down this fire exit. Mm-hmm. And Natasha trips and hits her mouth.
Oh.
And Carrie turns around to be like, oh my God. Like, she actually really hurt herself. And Natasha lifts her face and she's like leaking blood.
This happened to someone I knew.
That they were chasing someone who was having an affair?
No, they were dancing on a dance floor and fell and knocked out all of their teeth, every single one. Can I tell you this story briefly?
All of them? Please do.
So when I was in acting school, our secretary's name was Terry Potter. Not Harry Potter. Terry Potter.
Yeah.
She went out one night, like maybe a Christmas party with all the students. Not my year, the year before I started. Okay. And got drunk, wasted on the dance floor, fell on the dance floor and knocked out all her teeth. So when I started.
Like, you mean all of her top teeth?
All of them.
How?
I don't know.
Like, she hit a chair? Like, oh my God.
I don't know, but she had all new teeth for
Terry.
Me. Poor Terry.
Poor Terry. And you know what? I don't even know if that would be covered, because even if you don't have teeth, I think they'd classify that as like at least partially cosmetic.
No, I think it's emergency surgery. So emergency dental care on most policies, this is what people have come for, I think is 100%. Like when you have to go to the hospital, that's covered completely.
I guess, but then they would do like a preliminary fix, but then if she wanted to get like crowns or
like they would put exactly. in like literal chiclets.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
Like those
because
Dracula.
I have fake teeth and they're fucking expensive.
Oh, I have a lot they're like, of crowns.
Well, like you might as well not have a tooth. Like mine is on like a cement post.
Oh shit!
Like that type of thing.
Cement?
I don't
porcelain.
Know.
I hope
it's a cement.
I hope it's not cement.
I went for the most affordable option.
Did you do cementy?
I can crush a carrot though. Oh my God. I would die though, because that cement spike would go right into my brain.
I am so sad to hear that you have such low quality mouth. Like wooden teeth, like George Washington teeth.
Yeah, I have like wooden teeth.
Okay, getting back to Carrie. So Carrie takes Natasha to the hospital. Very kind. Actually, like there was something very, it was an interesting reversal of fortune where she's running away and then she has to kind of be the caretaker. And
it would be horrific if she'd left Natasha.
Oh, I was expecting her to leave somehow. I don't know.
Me too. I was. Yeah. And then she tries to get into the cab. It's actually kind of funny because Natasha gets in the cab and Carrie tries to get into the backseat.
She locks it.
She locks the door.
Oh, is that what her hands were doing? I was confused. I thought she was pointing. Get in the front seat. No, she's locking it.
She's locking it. So Carrie gets in the front of the cab and takes her to the hospital.
Okay. I have to say, Big at the hospital is one of the worst. It's worse than anything. So Big comes in, like he's standing, you know, in the entrance and Carrie's there and they have this big scene together, you know, like we're so over it. We need a new word for over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead of saying, you know what, Carrie, step aside. This isn't about you. My wife is in the hospital and I need to go see her. They have this interaction. Like that's all that matters. This is so, I feel so bad for Natasha.
And I also feel like, why is Carrie being like, fuck you, Big, when at the house, after they have sex, Big is like, I will call Natasha right now and tell her that I don't want to be with her. And Carrie's like, well, no, wait. Like,
I know.
It's like, is Carrie, she's just refusing to actually take responsibility for her role in this. So why is she so pissed at Big that she was at Big's house eating Chinese food out of his fridge and his wife catches her?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is she putting this solely in Big's lap? You know,
it's true. They're both culpable. So then she goes home and to Aiden.
Yeah,
and her attitude is off. It's very strange to me. She says something like, "What does she actually say? Do you have that?"
She says she went to a museum,
but her voiceover, she kind of said something to the fact of like, "Wow, like I got myself out of that mess."
Oh,
and
yeah.
Made it home.
Yeah. And just like that.
I was home or something.
I got out
I got out and I'm like, man, did you? Like, you have left a trail of disaster. You're not out of this and you're not home.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, there's nothing good about this.
That's it. And it's brutal.
It's brutal. And good.
And good.
Very
and watch.
Good.
So I would suggest, if you have the time and inclination, watch 9, 10, 11 together. Watch them together.
Yep.
Yes, right? Season three. Watch them together. It's all or nothing. Big time. It's easy come, easy go.
Oh, easy come, easy go. All or nothing. And then running with scissors.
That chunk of three.
It's amazing. It's
best,
very good.
Best thing you're gonna watch. Maybe next to True Detective, but debatable.
Hey Meredith, that was fun. What a great episode to cover with you.
Yeah, what a great way to end. Look, I hope you have so much fun. And when you go see Madonna, it's gonna blow my mind.
I hope she stays upright.
I hope she makes it.
There's always a fear in my back of my mind is that she'll cancel my concert. Because
oh my god, I thought you were gonna say that she was gonna have a stroke on stage, but you're more worried she's gonna cancel.
I'm worried about that too, but my main fear is just cancellation.
Yeah, that you won't get your money back. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Okay. Follow us, like us, rate, review.
Please tell us your stories.
Tell your friends about our podcast because if you want to keep forming this sense of community with us, we're here for it. We're here for you.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.